In any type of group, you're going to find some people who are just not satisfied with the way things are. They want people to change, but at the same time, they go about it the wrong way. And the primary reason for it is a missing love for brethren. They don't think about what's best for other people. They only think about what they would like to happen. One of the aspects of this, of sowing discord, is you have people who will talk about others. People who engage in it oftentimes have way too much time on their hands. If you take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse 11, it says, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." Oftentimes when we don't have other things to do, we get involved and start putting our noses in other people's businesses. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and starting with verse 12, 1 Timothy 5 verse 12, actually verse 13, says, "At the same time they also learn to be idle, as they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan." Here is, again, there's idleness. They don't have something to do. And what he's really saying is we need a purpose in our life. We need a focus on what we're doing so that we don't get caught up in gossiping about other people. But we got to also talk about why people like to gossip. It's not only because they have nothing else better to do, but gossip's kind of like juicy tidbits, little things we like to nibble on. The writer in Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18, and verse 8, it says, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body." And by that, he says, basically saying is, gossip's one of those things where it's very easy to swallow. We tend, and if you haven't noticed, and you've probably seen this in the past, we tend to believe the worst about people. When somebody says something, we automatically jump to the most negative thing. And when somebody confirms it with gossip, we tend to believe it. But the problem with gossip is that once we swallow it, it becomes a part of us. It's hard to let go. It starts nibbling at our conscience. And everything that we see, we start thinking, well, yeah, that just confirms it. And it changes how you see other people. And it changes you. In one aspect, it feeds off your pride. That's one of the reasons why we like to see and hear about the negative things about other people. It's because, hey, if they're having it really bad, then hey, I'm not so bad off. My life looks pretty good compared to theirs if they're that bad. I must not be that bad of a person. But we're comparing one person to another, which is wrong. In fact, Paul, having difficulties with gossip, people trying to undermine the fact that he was an apostle, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is starting verse 10, he says, "For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal appearance is presentive, and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, what we are in word by letter when absent, such persons we are indeed when present. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as if we did not reach to you. For we were first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labor, but with hope that as your faith grows, we will be, within our sphere, enlarged even more by you. So as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the fear of another. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Those who were trying to undermine Paul were basically saying, well, Paul's not like us. But that's using their own measure. That's using themselves as a standard. Gossiping and talebearing, tear down people that are being talked about. Trying to make them look lower than the person who's gossiping. But if you're comparing yourselves to others, and you're tearing them down, what you're really saying is you don't need other people. And that's where the problem comes in. That's where the lack of love comes in. When you're tearing other people down, you're saying, I don't need you. Other than to be a stepping stone, to lift myself up. And if you don't understand that, look at how many people really compare themselves to somebody who's successful. They almost always compare themselves to somebody who is less than themselves. Now, one of the problems of talebearing, beyond the person himself tearing other people down, is that fact that it causes strife. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, and starting with verse 20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like a dainty morsel. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Here again, we see the same final verse like we had read before. But talebearing is like putting wood on the fire or putting some charcoal there. It becomes a fuel. And a flame breaks out and strife breaks out. What's interesting is Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, lists out gossiping or whispering or talebearing, however your translation may translate it. He lists this out with sins that you would normally not associate it with. He said, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. You don't oftentimes associate gossip with murdering and stealing, but they're just as destructive. Instead of actually harming another person physically, you're harming them spiritually. It kills a person's reputation. It steals away a person's respect. See, gossips don't bother to go to the person they're talking about. You'll see this all the time. They always will go talk to somebody else. Because when you come down to it, the gossip's purpose is not to improve the other person. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. That is what we should be talking about. We should be thinking about what we say, how it improves people. Not tear them down. But like I said, a gossip's intention is not to correct the problem. They find fuel in the problem existing. And so whether they think about it or not, they really want the problem to continue. And part of the problem also is they have malice towards the person they're gossiping about. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Notice how all these things are tied together. It is the anger and malice towards other people that leads towards abusive speech. Not only is gossiping a problem, but we also have problems sometimes with people not being able to keep a secret. That's what we particularly call a talebearer. Talebearer is somebody who reveals another person's secrets. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and in verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Also in chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and in verse 19. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. When you repeat a matter, when you tell somebody else's secret, you're going to drive a wedge between friends. There are reasons why things ought not to be spread. In Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 9, Proverbs 17, verse 9, it says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. It is our drive, again, not for anger at somebody or malice towards somebody, but because we love somebody, even when they do something that harms us, if we can settle that matter, we keep it secret. Because our aim is to keep people together. But a talebearer's aim is to drive a wedge between other people. See, even a close friend doesn't believe the gossip. But it still will end up leaving just this little burr of doubt in the back of their mind. Every little problem that comes up in the future makes them wonder, well, perhaps it really is true. And so they get separated a little bit at a time. Even when there's nothing wrong and there is no real problem, people will make things up in order to tear somebody down. If you don't understand it, just watch current politics. It's going on all the time. But take a look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, starting with verse 27. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Think about gossip columnists. Well, they get paid by people getting all excited about the bad news they're spreading. Well, if there's no bad news this week, what do? They'll find something that it can make into bad news. And today it seems like news reports are more gossip columns than they are filled with facts. And it's creeping into our society. People will talk about and post and spread. Things that are negative, things that are basically plain false, never checking to see if they're actually true. There's a warning in Psalms chapter 41. Psalms 41 and in verse 7. It says, all who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Talking about others comes from hatred. David had to deal with that as a king. Constantly people talking, whispering behind his back, saying things that are just plain not true. Oh, he's so sick. When he goes to bed, he might not get up again. He's king. But they want people to start doubting his ability to lead. But take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now remember, we said gossiping and talebearing and all these type of things, they're driven by hatred. We have to love the brethren. When there is a problem, we ought to go to that person, solve the problem, because we want that person to reach heaven. But as we mentioned before, our society is decaying into one that feeds on gossip. And this is not new. Paul talked about the decay of the Greek society in Romans chapter 1. And in among the list of the things that happened to that society towards the end, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips. That's a part of the symptoms of a society that's falling apart. And we have to understand, God's going to take care of that. You know, sometimes it seems like you can't fight gossip. And it's hard because word spread real fast. But God will take care of the slander. Take a look at Psalms 101. Psalms 101, and in verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. God will take measures. It might be easy to gossip about somebody else, but you got to remember, God's going to do something about it. And to continue in gossip, knowing that what God's opinion of it is, well, that's just downright foolish. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. It's foolish to spread lies, knowing what God thinks about it. As Christians, though, we need to put a stop to such talk, both in ourselves and from other people as well. In ourselves, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, starting with verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Also take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, what that means is that we just have to stop telling lies. Before we speak about anybody else, one of the first things we need to do is talk, is find out whether it's true, which oftentimes means you need to go back to the person that's being talked about first. But James also tells us in James chapter 4, verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. And by that, what he's talking about is when we start spreading gossip and we start talking bad about other people, especially the brethren among the church, God said we are to love one another. And when we do the opposite by telling gossip, then we're spreading malice, we're spreading strife, and we're working against what the law says. And that's why he says you become a judge of the law. And you're going to kind of come up short because the law is true. In Titus chapter 3, Paul tells Titus when he preaches that he needs to remind the brethren of the same thing. He says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. There is no need for someone to talk down about someone else unless you're warning them about something that you know is true. But if you have somebody that is a brother who is having a problem, you need to address it with them because you ought to be bringing them up. In fact, Paul has a very effective preventative that he mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and starting with verse 19. All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come I may find that you not to be what I wish, but may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbance. I'm afraid when I come, my God may humiliate me before you. I may mourn over many who have sinned in the past and have not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality they have practiced. What is it we need to do? He talks about our upbuilding of one another. When we teach one another, when we bring to mind what we ought to do, then we're not focused on how to tear other people down. We need to keep our minds occupied with the things of God. And remember that our purpose here is to bring each one of us towards heaven, that we might all enjoy eternity together. That's our goal as brethren. And I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, we leave that opportunity also. Why don't you come forward if we stand and sing the song of the selected.